Welcome to the Homebase Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. This is show number 216 for August 9th, 2009. The music in this podcast is provided by the IOTA Alliance. And once again, this week we have music by Christine W. You know, I kind of wanted to boost up the tempo of the music here a little bit, and Christine W. seems to do it quite well. I'm on your side, and I know sometimes just I care too much, but I cannot deny. And the song is entitled Be All Right. And it's from the album Power of Music, The Power of Music. You can find a link to this music in my show notes at www.hometravelagent.net. Well, welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome to the Homebase Travel Agent Show. Once again, I'm Barry Kantz, your host of the show. And this week's show, we have a co-host, a guest co-host. Lorene Romero is off visiting family this week, and she will return next week. So we have Gary Ebels coming in, taking Lorene's place for the week, and we're going to talk a little bit about Disney, about host agencies, and about marketing your travel business. But with that, we'll get to the co-hosted segment here in a minute. First of all, I want to thank you for being a listener and a subscriber to the show. And particularly, if you are a subscriber to the show, make sure you go over to hometravelagent.net and pick up the new RSS feed link and paste that into iTunes or whatever other software you're using to subscribe to the Homebase Travel Agent Show. The old link is going to go away here eventually, so I want everybody to go over and pick up the new link at hometravelagent.net. And you can do that by right-clicking on the RSS feed insignia up in the top right-hand corner of the page. And once you right-click on it, copy link location is what you'll do. And then go to your podcast catching software and subscribe within that software by using that link. Just copy and paste it into wherever you subscribe to podcasts within your software, and I appreciate it. We're changing the RSS feed. We have changed the website, and with that change, everything is going to be centered around the new website at hometravelagent.net, including the RSS feed, and we're making that change. We're making it slowly, but it's all going to happen, and it's all going to be there eventually. Also, one of the things that I did, you know, as a result of Gary Ebel's suggestion, I had forgotten all about this, was this weekend I went back and I put a link into the agent-to-agent forum, because it'd be nice to get that forum back up and running and active. There are a few recent posts over there, and what the purpose of the forum is to have a place for travel agents to go pick up some good information or give information to other travel agents to help them out. So check out the agent-to-agent forum. The link is there, again, on the hometravelagent.net website. Now, since this is a new website, and I've mentioned this before, I'm building the archives, and I'm going back and adding shows as I get time. I just added a few more shows last weekend to the archives, so I'm back not quite to 2007 yet, but we have to keep going back to clear back to 2005. You know, 216 shows here, that's a lot of cutting and pasting into the new website to create the archives, so as time goes on, go back and check them out. You know, we do have past shows that talk a lot about host agencies, and we're going to be talking some about host agencies today with Gary. And you may want to go back, and if you can find the archives, I'm sorry I didn't get the show numbers before I started talking about this, but, you know, you can go back to the archives, and there are tags and categories that you can use to find the types of shows that you're interested in, and those tags and categories on the website will take you to the shows that are tagged or categorized, such as cruises, tours, tourism, marketing, business tools. You know, there's a whole bunch of tags and categories. I can't name them all, but you get the idea. If you want to try to find a show that is of interest to you at this particular time, you can use those tags and categories to go back and find it. And, you know, if you have some ideas that you want to share with clients and you don't want to meet with them in person, or if you want to share ideas with other travel agents or other people in your business, suppliers, hosts that you're dealing with, host agencies, whatever, you know, there isn't a better way to do that than go to meeting. And you know, if you've ever hosted or attended an online meeting, you know how difficult it can be to set up a meeting or even just to get the meeting started. And that's why you need the easiest online meeting service available, and that's GoToMeeting. And it's brought to you by Citrix, and it just takes minutes to set up, and you can start the meeting, and you can hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. So visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Online meetings made easy. Try GoToMeeting today. And you know, I do want to mention that the people that you invite into your meeting, they don't have to pay anything. It's free for them. So any of your invitees into the meeting are there, and they can join the meeting simply and for free. So that's a benefit for sure. You know, as I'm talking about benefits and good things, and I want to talk a little bit about a service that I came across. And this service is going to be great for travel agents. So the listeners here that are travel agents, which are most of you, are going to benefit from this service, because it's going to generate leads for you. And what it is, it's called Angie's List. Many of you may have heard about this list before, but in the event that you haven't, Angie's List is a place where you can find service professionals, and that includes travel agents. And over 750,000 consumers use Angie's List. They have over 750,000 active users there. Now, how does it work? Well, you can sign up as a member of Angie's List, choose the type of service you're looking for, and find a service provider in your area with the best reviews. Now, the service providers do not list their own services in Angie's List. It's the customers who list the business owners they're dealing with, and it's the customers that write the reviews. So you're accessing unbiased reviews and ratings of the service provider you're looking for. Now, among the hundreds of services you can find in Angie's List are lawn service, plumbers, carpenters, mechanics, doctors, dentists, veterinarians, pet sitters, and most importantly, travel agents. Now, why am I promoting Angie's List? Well, because you can join and hire contractors and service providers with confidence. And when you hire a contractor or service provider, you can tell them that you're a member of Angie's List, and the contractor or service provider will want to get a good review from you on Angie's List, which helps them bring clients to their door. Now, some contractors and service providers also offer a discount to Angie's List members. So they want your business and they want to get a good review from you, and they're going to get more clients as a result. As a travel agent, you want to really encourage your clients to join Angie's List and write good reviews for the service you provide, because the good reviews on Angie's List will bring you more clients. And I want our home-based travel agent family of listeners to have every advantage and every tool to bring in business. And that's one of the big reasons, if not it is the big reason, why I want you to check out Angie's List. But, you know, I have to, in the interest of full disclosure here, if you do sign up for Angie's List using the link on the home-based travel agent website or the link in the show notes, you are supporting this show. We make a small commission from each person who signs up to Angie's List using the links in the show notes or on the website. Now, the commission is small because the cost to join Angie's List is less than one cup of coffee per month. Very inexpensive to join, and all the benefits that you can receive. And you can even join and give gifts to your clients, gifts of Angie's List memberships to your clients, and encourage them to write good reviews for you and get more clients as a result. This is a very powerful tool, and I encourage you to give it a try. The important thing here is for your travel business to get reviewed on Angie's List and start getting more referrals. So with that, what I want to do is get right into the co-hosted segment of the podcast with Gary Ebels. I think you'll enjoy it. So here we go. Well, welcome everybody to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show co-hosted segment of the week. And Lorene Romero is on vacation again. Imagine that. She's off and traveling. I think she's gone more than she's at home. And she's visiting family this time around. So that's a good thing, too. It's good to get away. It's good to visit family. And we will have her back this next week. But this week we have a returning co-host who has Been here before, and that's Gary Ebels. He comes to us from Newaygo, Michigan, from his new The Place to Be, his new cottage. And I'll let Gary explain that. Welcome, Gary. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Barry. Nice to be here. I was telling Barry that this has been one of those busy weeks. I've been helping neighbors work, and I closed on a cottage that actually is right next to mine at a place called Picker Lake in Newaygo. And we used to call it by the lady's name. We had to come up with a new name here. And my son and I and our kids are avid watchers of Seinfeld. And anybody who knows what I'm talking about probably will know where I'm going with this. One of the segments when George's dad converts George's old room with Kramer to a billiard place, they invite the maestro over. And the maestro wanted to know what the name of the place was, and they just kind of off the cuff named it The Place to Be. And so the maestro says, well, then I will be at The Place to Be. And so being avid watchers and having a good joke about that, we've named our new annex over here, which really will be my kids' place with my grandkids and so forth. We've called it now The Place to Be. So broadcasting from The Place to Be on Picker Lake, Newaygo, Michigan.
Yeah, just related to that, you have a website with a webcam, so if people are interested, they can go see what kind of view you have.
I do, and I can send you that link with some of the other ones. I'll send you with some things I'm going to reference when we get into this. So,
okay.
In case somebody wants to know what the place to be looks like. So.
No, very good. You know, I understand, we'll get into the travel business topic here, that you just went through a change in host agency, and just before we were talking, I was mentioning to Gary, it may be good to, and I didn't even know Gary was going to talk about host agencies, and I was thinking that, well, it might be good to go back to some of the basics and talk a little bit about host agencies, but now Gary tells me he's had some experience with switching host agencies. How'd that go?
Well, it was interesting, and I've actually learned a lot, and, the old dog, new tricks type of thing, but, a couple of things got me thinking about this. The first one being, many times I listen to the podcast and I listen to all the guests that are on there, and they're talking about their specialties and so forth, Lorraine and Barry. And I think to myself, this is really good for me because I've listened to every single podcast, and I kind of know that if I needed some information, I could go back to a time in the future, but I'm not sure where we're at now. It looks like maybe about podcast 216. That's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, that's it.
And there's lots of information that go back probably a couple of years here. And sometimes that there's probably people who, like I did, after I think it was probably show 30 or so, I found the podcast and had to go back and listen to them. And that wasn't quite as big a deal as it would be today, but that occasionally, at least as maybe even a segment or something, that we would talk about, or someone would talk about getting into the business today, and because this is really fun and it's very easy. I want to encourage anybody who's listening to this who hasn't been a co-host on the Home-Based Travel Agent podcast to send Barry an email, and if you just got a few things, believe me, you can share it, because I'd like to hear some, part of how I learned is finding out what other people did, the good things and the bad things. We learn more sometimes with our mistakes than we do with the other stuff. So I want to encourage someone to call in, especially if it's somebody who's just getting into this business, and talk about what went well, what hasn't gone well, and maybe we can even take this person on and kind of follow them once in a while and see how they're doing, because we've all been there at some level and so forth. So that would be the first thing I encourage. I'm finally going to get to this thing in just a minute, Barry, but I had a couple other thoughts here while I'm talking. Number one is that I want to congratulate you on your new website. It looks very nice. You're using what do they call it?
The WordPress?
WordPress thesis, which I really, really like. It's nice and clean, and I hear really good things about it. Someday I'm going to have to get into it. So it looks very nice. But I went before I got on to conspicuously, specifically look for something. the agent-to-agent forum, and I don't find any link to that. So is that gone temporarily or permanently, or are we going to have access, or did I just step someplace I wasn't supposed to go?
Yeah, it's still out there. I just haven't put a link on the new website yet, and I don't know how active it is. I haven't been into the agent-to-agent forum for a while. I should really go there and see what kind of activity we have, and if we're getting some activity there, I need to talk about it on the show.
Well, and I was going to do two things. One is, as I'm going to talk just a minute about my experience with my host agency, I was going to go on to the agent-to-agent site and just start a new forum or a new thread and just call it something like host agency shout-out or something, and just basically say, who's your host agency? So we can get a little picture of who it is, because if it's like me, when I lost my host agency, all of a sudden I'm kind of at a loss. You can kind of Google things and so forth, but you really never know. And, you know, part of the best references are those people who are already there, and just say, you know, I need a new host agency. What would you recommend? And people would jump in and give you ideas that you can research and maybe ask questions about too. So, and if we do do that, then I'll do one of my usual challenges here. If we can put it out, you know, a month or so, or as we get back into it for people to listen to it. But we can do another random drawing if you want to put it back up there and the link on it, and come up with another show and give away some Disney dollars again if people will just go back to the forum and tell us what your host agency is, too. So that's a little challenge for you.
Yeah, and I'll do that this weekend. I'll get the link back up to the agent-to-agent forum. It was actually, when I switched the website, there was so much to do when you switch a website. I forgot all about that link.
Exactly. I that's what I figured it was, is that you've done a lot, but I know how much work it takes just to get it to the spot you're at right now, too. So, anyways. Well, what happened with my host agency is that I was, when I started out, I looked around, too, and one of the up-and-coming host agency was a company called Joystar. And actually, I liked Joystar. They took a lot of heat and so forth, but frankly, I never had any problems with them. When someone booked and so forth, we would, you know, put in the booking, everything was online and so forth, and got paid in a timely fashion and everything else. So I had no issues with them, but the company itself went out of business. I went bankrupt and so forth, and so all of us who were on Joystar agents are no longer, and so now I'm stuck, getting a new one. And what you find very quickly is when your host agency goes out of business, all of your access to websites, like for me, Disney Travel Agents, don't work anymore. So, you know, you kind of are out of business, and so I had two issues. One is I wanted to get back in so I could have the same access I had before, but second, I needed to join up with someone too. So, and frankly, I went to the one that I've heard multiple times, and I think that my co-host tonight, Barry, has mentioned several times, and it's his agency, and that is Dugan's Travels. The contrast that I wanted to talk about those two is the fact that I really like Joystar, and they made opportunities for people to do things, but I didn't actually have to do anything for them. Whereas in Dugan's Travel, it's just the opposite. Once you decide that you want to work with them, then you can send in some money, and they cover you with some insurance and kind of a setup fee, and it's really minimal. For if you're starting your own business and so forth, and then they send you to their own site, and in the site there they actually have training that you must, that's the key, you must go to. They open doors for you as you get the training done, and they don't open all the doors, and so they kind of guide you through. And I suspect it all has to do with the fact that they've learned over years that that people need to have certain things done, and it probably cuts down with the demand or the issues or the people who email in and So, frankly, you can't even make a booking with them until you get some basic training that's done there. And I think that that's a real credit to the agency. The other unique thing that about it is that because it's kind of truly, I think, a home-based travel agency, I don't think there's any brick-and-mortar, and rumor has it that Jennifer Dugan, who's the owner of this, works at her kitchen table in between her kids' activities and stuff. But because they use a lot of forms that go through Google Mail and Yahoo, when they set things up, everything goes and flows back through Dugan's Travels, and every day I get this whole pile of, in fact, it got to be so many of them, I set up a rule in my Google account, so it just moved them over into a folder. But there are faxes and other things that come back from the suppliers. And one of the things about it is it's pretty encouraging to watch all these people that are obviously making these bookings going, well, you know, there's things going on. So that was pretty neat to do also. Ironically, I was, you know, clearing some of them out just before I got there. We got on here, Barry, and connected with each other. And this is a, you know, I don't think it's proprietary, but it's an important administrative message from Jennifer. But I'll scroll down, and it's just generic, but it talks about, she talks about Disney documents. And it says right now the main thing she's having to ship is Disney documents. They're talking about all this stuff that comes in. She says that they've been finding that they're sending the documents out a little later than usual, which would be good information, again, for your listeners to know that Disney sends things out maybe a little later than you need. But then it goes on to talk in the last couple of sentences, it says, to don't forget that you can book Disney through other suppliers. And then it goes on to say, be sure to get pricing from Travel Impressions, GoGo, Southwest Vacation, Funjet, etc. Disney is not the only company you can book Disney vacations through. It might actually be cheaper for your clients to use something different, as well as you may get better commission. So there's always a possibility you could actually make this thing work for you. So the old buyer beware in the shopping is that if you're used to using some of these other, like through the VAX vacation access and stuff, with some of these vacations, try your Disney quotes through that also. So I just have to give a nice plug, and I haven't been there for but just a couple of months, but I have to give a plug for Dugan's agents. I'm impressed by the way they have it set up, the fact that that you have to acquire a certain knowledge base before they allow you in with the rest of the group. I think that's admirable there too. So anyway, so I'd be interested to what is everybody else using for their host agency. How do you like it, and what do you like and what you don't like? I think that's good resources for people also.
Yeah, and one thing about Dugan's is they take on brand new travel agents, and not all host agencies do that. And that's probably the reason they have the kind of the graduated entry program, is because they do take on brand new agents. So if you're out there thinking about the travel business, you might want to take a look at Dugan's.
Well, and moving into my passionate, of course, I think you all know that by now, but my passion has to do with the Disney here. And let me start out just a second with some what I call time-dated material, which means that if we're on show number 400 and you're just catching up, this is really going to be old stuff in every time of year, too. But one of the things that I want to talk about, and this is not a financial show, but, you know, being a professor and so forth, I'm always trying to get people to learn. And so you're going to get your economics lesson of the day. Being a business owner is understanding that. But Disney, like a lot of businesses, just came out with their third quarter, quarterly report for their third quarter there. So, and the bottom line of it is they lost money. And just reading from a couple of little segments from their quarterly report here, and then kind of translating, and if you don't pick up on it, it talks about Disney's parks and resort revenues for the quarter decreased 9%. They give some specific billion-dollar numbers there and so forth. And they say that lower operating income was due to a decrease at Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Vacation Club, and Disneyland Paris. operating income comparisons reflect the shift of Easter holiday from the second quarter of fiscal 2008 to the third quarter of fiscal 2009. Well, that last little line talks about the fact that statistics sometimes look bad only because you're not counting apples and apples. You know, there's a switch in the holiday weekends and so forth. But it goes on to say, and they're talking about domestic operation, it says lower operating income at the Walt Disney World Resort was primarily due to decreased guest spending and lower corporate alliance income recognition, whatever that means, partially offset by a lower cost. Decreased guest spending was driven by lower average daily hotel room rates, which means they're giving out discounts, and lower average ticket prices, which include the impact of promotional programs such as the buy four, get three free program. I think I talked about that the last time I was on. Lower costs reflect savings from cost mitigation activities and lower volume, partially offset by labor and other cost inflation. Lower income, operating income at Disney Vacation Club was primarily due to higher per unit cost of sales. So, I mean, you know, what that basically says is they lost money, which most businesses have. But anybody who's been to Disney World, or if you follow Disney World like I do and on Twitter and a number of other things, you find out that the parks are absolutely jammed. They're absolutely packed. And over the Easter weekend and so forth, multiple times they had to close parks down simply because they had reached capacity. And so what it comes down to is kind of like the same phenomenon that everybody says going, well, it sure doesn't look like there's a recession because the place is packed. Or around Christmas time, people say, well, it doesn't look like we're in a recession because look at all these people at the mall. Well, you never count the people at the mall. You count the bags that are being taken out of the mall. In the same way with Disney, is that people are coming, they're staying on discounts, they're not spending as much money on food and merchandise and things like that. So the good news is that there's lots of people going to Disney World. The bad news is for Disney is the fact that people aren't spending as much money, or they're taking advantage, you know, they're spending the money, but they're taking advantage of an induced stimulus that Disney's promoting, which would be discounts and sales and promotions and things like that. So now, the good news is for the travel industry that this is going to be probably as good a time as ever to book a Disney vacation. The bad news is that if you're also a Disney a shareholder like me and all my kids are, you don't like the fact that we're losing money. So you need to send some of your clients there so that us investors can make more money. What a deal. Now, on the heels of that information, though, Disney just increased their ticket prices. Again, we're talking dated information. We're, in case you need to look back, we're talking August of 2009. I don't know where I got that from. August of 2009, and one of the things, if you sell Disney, or you should know if you have clients going, is that Disney has gotten to the point where they do their traditional ticket price increases around August 1st. It used to be the first of the year, but now it's August 1st, and you can almost bank on them. And so what happens is that you can buy tickets. And in fact, one of the things about it is that they raise ticket prices every year, and even if you were to buy tickets and you don't plan on going until 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, those tickets are always usable. Okay, so you could actually buy tickets for someone or for a future trip and save money. The price increase on average, and this is also good to know to deal with clients who might want to book Disney, the price increase for a one-day ticket went up about 5%, just over 5%. But in the tickets that are multi-day tickets, the average was only 2%, which means that Disney is actually giving a break for those people that buy more than, you know, or buy more than just the one-day ticket. They jump up to a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-day ticket. So they reward those people that stay a little bit longer. The other good news was that those of us that have annual passes, which means we could go there every day if we wanted to. Wouldn't that be nice? We now will be buying our tickets not for 12 calendar months, but for 15 months. They're actually going to give annual pass holders 15 months worth of annual pass tickets. I think they finally figured out that these people come quite a bit. They do support the place. They very often come and they eat there in one of their restaurants. So they're trying to encourage you to come to the parks and spend some more time and your money. And then last but not least on the data type of thing as we talk about it is the fact that fall is what we would call fall is a great time. It's becoming one of the best times to go to Disney. They have some of the best promotions that go on, but I got a chance to go down, I think 2 years ago, to their food and wine celebration there at Epcot, and it was absolutely amazing. Of course, it was really packed, but a lot of people, a lot of adults go down there just for those kinds of things to take their vacation too. So, well, one more thing when I'm thinking of it, something else I just saw. Again, this is kind of short notice, but the Swan and Dolphin, which are located on the Disney property but aren't actually Disney properties, they're run actually by, I'm not sure what other corporation, but you get a lot of the same benefits you would, are actually run as a special. It's called 99 in 09, and it's $99 and 09. It's a celebration of Labor Day, and what they're saying is that if you book a room sometime between September 1st and September 9th, they will rent you the room for $99 a night. And if you've ever stayed at the Swan or the Dolphin, and I have had the privilege to stay at both of them, they're excellent properties. They're really the equivalent of kind of a deluxe property, and to be able to stay at a deluxe property, which would be at Disney, which would be multiple hundreds of dollars a night, you could stay for $99. Here's a little window of opportunity there. So, and last but not least, going back to my economic story here, is just talk about the fact that Disney continues to try to bring people in, and there is a, I think I talked about a special that was going on, and I just went into Disney Travel Agents, since a lot of you also have that, but just to show you that this thing is going on until the end of the year. This promotion is called No Worries, Dining is Free. So it's free dining, and the booking window here is booking basically now through September 26th of 2009 for stays on most nights between September 29th through November 24th, and then again on November 29th through December 17th. And if there's another time that I really like to go down there, it's around the first or second week of December. The crowds are low, but all the Christmas decorations are out, and you don't have to fight with the people that go there between Christmas and New Year's. So, sample pricing, $535 per adult based upon adult double occupancy for stays on most nights, October 2nd through November 2nd, a savings of 22%. So, good deals going on down in Disney right now if people are looking for them. And what we've learned here is that go to the Disney Travel Agents website or to go to one of the other ones you're used to, Southwest, GoGo, FunJet, and see what you can find for them too. So, anyways, any other current event stuff before I go into talk about marketing, Barry?
No, I think that's... I think the point is good that they're still busy, but people are working ways to spend less. And, you know, I just listened to a podcast from WGN Radio out of Chicago, and they had three food critics on there talking about their restaurant experience in Chicago. And they kind of confirmed that the restaurants, the nice restaurants in Chicago, are still busy. It's just that people are spending less on wine and on appetizers, but they're still going out. So, you know, I think that seems to be the trend.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're all doing it, too, if we really think about it. So, you know, but, we have that. Well, the other thing that I thought about when Barry made the call, actually sent me an email and asked if I would like to be on this week, is right after that I listened to last week's podcast. And I was talking about marketing, and I thought about something on the same type of venue, and... I follow on Twitter and I follow on Facebook a guy by the name of Rick Howard. Rick Howard. Rick is a travel agent in Florida. He lives down in Vero Beach. But that's not how I found Rick. I found Rick on with a lot of other Disney people on Twitter. But Rick is kind of like me, an avid Disney fan, and of course, living in Florida, he gets to go there a little bit more often. But when Rick goes there, he takes his video camera, and he films a ride, he films a resort, he films something there. And then he goes home and puts it all together, and he publishes this video podcast called Travel with Rick. It got, first off, when I first started watching it, I thought, this is pretty unique from one standpoint, and that's always been my preference here. You have two types of agents out there, if you will. You have someone who's an agent that becomes a specialist in an area, or in my case, and I think in Rick's case also, we were probably Disney fans first, and that kind of propelled us into the travel business. And I think you would find that. And what's unique about it is that most people know Rick Howard by his Travel with Rick segments, and Barry, I will send you the link so people can go watch it. One of the things it's good for is that, you know, if you happen to be somewhat of a Disney fan, you can go in and it's kind of nostalgic. You can go, well, I really miss Pirates of the Caribbean or something else. Now, Rick does a nice job of taking you through those rides with his camera if you want to relive the memories there. And then what happens to do that, but also you'll notice on there he's got a link over to his travel agent website, which is called Kingdom Magic Vacations, that when you click in there, they have all the, you know, he's got all the Disney promotions and other things, and running his travel agency as a travel agency, but of course the specialization with Disney there. So I thought this is a really good segue for somebody who draws in someone who's passionate about Disney. And you could do this with anything. I mentioned before we broadcast, I'm thinking, you know, Lorraine, if she's wants to take it to the next level for all of us, we would like all these places she talks about going. I'd love to see a travel with Lorraine type of video like we see with Rick, and because it would not only educate us, but it also potentially could drive some people to her site. So those of you that out there that have your own specializations or passions and so forth, this could be a great marketing idea for you. And this technology isn't as tough as it looks. It actually just takes a lot of time, as Barry talked about. Setting up websites nowadays by using blogs and other templates through WordPress and so forth, it's pretty simple to do these kinds of things. It could be a really good connection with your business. And so I want to encourage all of you, as part of your homework for the week after this podcast is over, is to go visit the sites that get sent to you in the emails that Barry sends out. Everybody has done that, haven't they?
Oh,
Barry,
sure.
Tell them how to find that. If they don't get the emails, where are they going to find that?
Oh, they can find it at hometravelagent.net. That's www.hometravelagent.net. And the show notes are right there on the brand new website.
Exactly. I've been there. It's a nice website. And go in there and click a couple of those and see what they're doing and see if you can use one of those ideas for your site or your passion or whatever you do. So a little encouragement for you there too. So, and then last but not least, I guess I have one more thing, Barry, and I'm just gloating a little bit here, but this is just for Lorraine. I'm talking to Lorraine because I don't talk to her directly most of the time, but I became an Apple Mac fan some time ago, and I just after July 1st took the plunge. So what I've been reading tonight has been on my new MacBook Pro sitting on my lap here. So I can see Lorraine smiling right now going, we got another one here. So you were talking about your new netbook, and I still want to get one of those, but I have my Mac now. And if you have one of those, that even makes rendering your podcast and everything else in your movies even easier. So anyways.
Yeah, another one drinks the Kool-Aid. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I've got both of them, and it's funny because I've had both of them on, so they both have their pluses and minuses, I'm finding, but I now have a MacBook Pro for my personal computer here, not my computer that I use at school. So.
But, you know, I have to agree with Laureen. After having a year's worth of experience with the iPhone, and, you know, it's well designed, and her bottom line is that she's mentioned before is that it just works. And, you know, I can't say that about my PC all the time.
Exactly. That's exactly right, too. So, anyway, that's what I got for you tonight, Barry, and thoughts. Hopefully, there will be some use to someone, and that they have, that they're still listening to your podcast after I get done rambling on for too long most of the time. So,
not a problem, Gary. If someone wants to get a hold of you with questions about Disney or questions about anything, how do they do that?
Well, my Disney handle, I take through WDW, Walt Disney World Gary, wdwgary@gmail.com. Excuse me, gmail.com. I think I did that last time. I didn't know I put such a tongue tweezer. I think I'm done here, Barry. More iced tea. So wdwgary@gmail.com. I need to give up here. It's all yours, Barry.
All right. Very good, Gary. Thank you very much. And if you would like to send me an email, you can do that by sending it to Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And please drop us a line anytime. Drop Gary a note, drop me a note, drop Laureen a note. And you can still reach Laureen at sharptongued@mac.com. That's sharptongued@mac.com. She'll be back with us next week. And next week, I think we're going to do someone from Travel and Tourism Bureau from her home area. And we're going to do some of that. So coming up on the podcast. And I want to thank Gary for coming on board and being a part of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. It's always great to have you here, Gary, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I enjoy it, too. Thanks. Call again.
Okay. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Gary, for being a great co-host and filling in for Laureen, and I look forward to having you back on the show here in the future. And we're going to wrap the show up here shortly, but I did find one news article that I thought was interesting, and it really relates to some of the comments that we made during the co-hosted segment, and that there is a pent-up demand for travel. This article, it's actually a press release from Access America. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. And the article is entitled, Travel Survey Finds Americans Suffering from Vacation Deficit. And they did a survey of 1,000 Americans, and what they found was that a large majority of the respondents believe that vacations are very important or important. And there is a disparity between those people wanting to take a vacation and those people who are actually taking a trip or taking a vacation. And that difference is causing a vacation deficit. Now, the article goes on to talk about that people are interested in looking for travel deals and bargains at this time. There is still a large desire to go out and take vacations, but people don't have the money they used to, so they're looking for bargains. And here is an opportunity for you as a travel agent to really put together some information on your website, in your newsletters, in the ways that you communicate to your clients, and find those bargains and give people the opportunity, you know, sell that emotional feeling of a trip, of a vacation, and offer them a bargain, and watch your clients come in and book travel. At least I hope that's what happens. The article goes on to say that the demographic groups that place the highest value on vacations are parents of children under 18. Imagine that. Parents wanting to get away with their kids and enjoy a good time, vacation such as Disney. And those parents with children under the age of 18, 73% said vacations were important. Now, another demographic group that places a high value on vacations are people with some college education. And another group that places high value on vacations are Hispanics. So that helps you if you're targeting people out there with your products. You know, target people with kids, target people with some college education, and target Hispanic folks. And one last item from this article, a vacation was defined as leisure travel of at least a week to a destination of at least 100 miles from home. So that's how they defined a vacation in this survey. So it's not just a short staycation. These are real vacations that people are responding to and responding about. Well, with that, I'd like to thank everyone again for tuning in, being on board here at the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And drop me an email if you have any comments, suggestions, criticisms, whatever is on your mind. Drop me an email and I'm happy to respond. I'm happy to work on changes to the show, make things better for the listener, make things better for the home-based travel agent family. So with that, everybody have a great week, take care, and travel safely. Bye-bye now.
Hey, it's gonna be alright.